Well, I pray that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving and that God received all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for all that you ate. Yes. I got some text messages, some pictures. Wow, that's all I know. All right. If you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 4. And like we used to say all the time, if you don't have a Bible, slide over next to a Christian. All right. Yes. That one was always one of my favorites, along with when it was time to give our offerings, our tithes, which you notice that we don't take up a tithe or an offering on a Sunday. We have the boxes on the back wall because that's Christianity 101. And you know, we give, why? Because we're madly in love. Amen? Amen? We give because the word says so and because we're in love with him and we want to expand the kingdom of God. But we don't take up an offering necessarily. You just fill out an envelope and throw them in the box. But I love just to give. That's one of my favorite things to do, right? My wife does too. She's already got half the stuff she's going to give away in a week or two. Half of it's wrapped almost. You know what I mean? It's not wrapped yet. Well, then what are you doing? But when we used to take up an offering and all right, you're forgiven. But when we used to take up an offering and the ushers would come around, you know, we used to encourage people just to reach into your neighbor's pocket and give like you always wanted to, right? Because if it was their money, you'd give. But, you know, today as we look at the Word of God in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 21, and we're going to read down to 31 this morning. I better get my glasses on. It says, when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 50 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. When they had released, or when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they had heard this, they lifted their voices to God and with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the words of God with boldness. Everything is about the name. All the power that you have need of is wrapped up in that name. Amen? The power of salvation is in that name. There is no salvation. Well, there's salvation in what other name? Thank you. Good golly. You wonder why we're sending them out to plant a church in Philmont? There's no other name under heaven. None but the name of Jesus where salvation comes. Amen? There's no other name. None. They come up with all kinds of names and they try to twist everything. And that's what the enemy always does. He always tries to twist the truth. They lifted up their voices to God and they prayed in one accord. And this is where the key is. You know, the Bible says that there's a blessing in the unity, right? Where unity is, there's a blessing. And the world has yet to see the church in the fullness of unity. They have yet to see all the blessings of God poured out on it yet, especially in this generation. But when we walk together in unity, nothing is impossible. Amen? And then the blessing that comes, it's magnified and multiplied in so many different directions that we have yet to see the beauty of the majesty of God just spread all around in our area. Just tell your neighbor, say, it's time you and me walked in unity. Tell your other neighbor, say, it's time you and your spouse walked in unity. All right, if you're not married, your future. But unity is always the key. See, when our hearts are knit, then as they did, they lifted up their voices to God in prayer in one accord, one purpose. This is where the problem has been with the church. There's a lot of churches that are praying all kinds of crazy stuff right now. Churches are splitting, diving, closing, and just abandoning the word of God. Not us. We're going to stand on the word of God. We're not going to move from the word of God. My friends might move away. My neighbors might move away. My family might walk away. But I'm not leaving the word of God, no matter who walks away. Some of you might even walk out of this building and say, yeah, I'm done with that place. I'm not going to stop preaching the word of God. We're not walking away from what is right, what is righteous, and where all the power for salvation rests. Because as we have all seen, death comes to us all. Amen? In verse 28, it says, they confess that God has turned evil into good. Man, that's good news, isn't it? Look at whatever the enemy tried to use for evil, God's turned it around already in your life. Maybe you haven't experienced it yet, but I want you to know it's already turned around. God's already got a plan for you, and he's going to use what the destructive devil tried to destroy you with. He's going to use it in your life to transform a lot of people's lives. Blessings and cursings come out of the same mouth. Amen? Anybody have neighbors like that? I experienced one this weekend. What a gift. But can I tell you, when the enemy tries to distract you, because that's all it is a distraction, right? When they complain, we cut a couple of trees down on our property and in the woods, not anywhere near the house or lawns, none of that stuff, but in the woods where they never go, the top of one tree was 10 feet over the line. We cut it up and cleaned it up before the next morning. That's what I got in trouble for. It was in the woods where there's all kinds of dead woods and trees laying all over the place. You stepped over the line and you didn't ask us and tell us you were going to cut trees. That maybe one might fall on our property. You should have asked first. Sorry. That's what I said. I apologized, cleaned it up even better, said it won't happen again. Not so sure about that one. Try to do everything. I don't know about you, but I'm not no lumberjack, and I try to make them drop where I want them. Anybody ever have one that didn't drop where you wanted it? Yeah, I have. But you know, and so I was, I was just repenting and apologizing. Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Amen? So I just went in there. I apologize. I'm very sorry. I don't know why you came out. You must not eat enough turkey. Whatever the problem was, but I'm very sorry. What do I care? Right? And then I walked away. Got in a dump truck, went and got another little dirt. But there's blessings and there's cursings, right? One neighbor curses you out, and then another gentleman in the church, he did his job. Because how many know we all do part, we're all part of it, right? You're part of it. Every single person in here has a job to do. And one gentleman in the church texted a guy who used to be in political office around here, and he texted him a scripture encouraging him during Thanksgiving. And then that guy, he texted back and he said, hey, can I have pastor's number? He said, yeah, sure, for what? He said, well, the new county judge that got set in, he wants to know if you'll come and pray over them and then pray a blessing over what they're going into in the future. Yes. That appointment didn't happen unless somebody else did their job. Yeah. Right? I'm only a piece of it. That's it. But someone else made this happen, and it wasn't me. Amen. Had no idea. Do I know the guy? Yeah, I've known him for years. But someone else did their part. If you'll do your part, we manifest the presence of God in a lot of different areas. Amen? Yeah. Look at this. This is a Democrat judge in a Democrat chamber, and yes! I want to go pray over everybody. I don't care what affiliation they are. I don't care where they come from. I just want to tell them where they're going. Amen. Right? Yeah. So the same. The neighbor, he dropped a tree on my lawn. Or in my woods, I mean. And then the next one, hey, we want you to go in here and pray over. You ever get like, what in the world is going on? I can't be upset anymore. No, now I'm just excited. Can I just tell you, that's how good God is. Amen. Whatever the enemy wants to use for bad, God's going to turn around. And you know what? My neighbor's going to be sitting here one day. Amen. Oh, my neighbor's coming. He just don't know it. He's coming. And it's soon. I'm telling you, it's real soon. I could tell by the look in his eyes. You know when you look into someone's eyes and you repent, apologize, and they're like, And you could, all the anger was gone. All the foolishness was gone. And it was just looking at a man face to face. Telling you, you're going to see him. You won't know who he is, but you'll see him. And I'm not telling you who he is either. If we go down there and we look in verse 30, it says they pray for more signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Now here, right, they heal the man, they get beaten, they get thrown in prison, they're coming out, and what do they say? Hey, we want to show more signs and wisdom. First of all, we're going to pray together, we're going to build on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because what did they tell them? Do not mention that name. So they told them, don't mention the name. I want to encourage you all week. All week, every time you talk to anybody, you mention the name of Jesus. Let's find out how many friends you really have. I'm serious. Everybody, well, praise God. Hey, in the name of Jesus, have a blessed day. Sorry, blessed day. I don't know why I always say blessed. My wife always makes fun of me. I don't know. But see what I mean? She's mocking me. She's laughing. God says in his word, God speaks my name 65 times in scriptures. My name. His name. It says when you're talking about God, your name is used 101 times. Name in reference to Jesus or God is used 85 more times. So the Bible records the word name in reference to God or Christ 346 times. You think there's something in that name? Amen. It's always about that name. Tell your neighbor it's not about your name. Yeah, I found that out this weekend. And a few scriptures, if you don't have to read, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to go through a few of them quickly. Just talk about that name. But if you look on the screen, and in Micah 4:5, it says, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. That's good news right there, amen? Not just in this life, but forever. We're going to walk in that name. Zechariah 10:12 says, I will strengthen them, how? What's it? In the Lord. That's right. And they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. How many need strengthening this morning? In Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all what? In the name of the Lord Jesus, everything you do, every job, every time a neighbor comes over to your house, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because your, shall we say, your reputation, Jesus said, the word says that Jesus was of no reputation. He was scorned and mocked and ridiculed and made fun of and beaten and crucified by the will of the Father. And if he suffered, don't think we're not going to. The problem with the church is the church didn't learn how to suffer. That's the problem. what was it? Hard times build strong men. Strong men build easier times. Easier times build weak men. Weak men build weak cultures. And then it turns over again, and it's a cyclical wheel. We're in a time and a season where America has been producing a lot of weakness. And we see that every day. You're the strength of America. That's who you are. You're the strength of America in the name of Jesus. Not in your own strength. We don't give a rat about the military career that you had, how many weapons you ever shot, used, carried, cleaned, whatever you did. I don't care if your body is a weapon. Whatever it is, we are nothing without him. Amen? But you're strong in him. You're the answer for those that are lost. And every demonic power bows its knee at the name of Jesus. That's it. That's all we need. It's the only weapon we need. Isn't that amazing? People are still running around. Christians are still running around trying to find the secret sauce in the Word of God. Aren't they? They're trying to figure out, okay, what's the methodology so I can get this and I can be this? I want you to know right now, you're a child of the Most High God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. All power and authority has been given to you because of Jesus Christ. Nothing is impossible in your life for him to use you because of the name of Jesus Christ. No matter where you walk in victory because of the name of Jesus Christ. Right? This is all about one single solitary name. And his name is Jesus. And God the Father gave him that name. Isn't that what the scripture says? Hebrews 1:4 says, being made so much better than the angels. I just love that line. You know how many people are chasing angels? People are chasing angels. And hey, I got an angel. I was in a meeting one time. The guy, he's prophesying. He got up and he says, there's angels in this room. One's half in the room, half out. He's that big. And he says, there's an angel that's standing over here. You come on up here. And I want to prophesy over you, you know, and talk about where the angel stood next to me. And I'm like, I just want Jesus. You know, I just want Jesus. Do we have angels? Yes. They help us. Hey, look, I'm very grateful for angels. I know a lot of angels are the only reason why I'm still here. God gave them to us. But I'm not going out searching, looking for angels. I'm going out preaching Christ and him crucified. Amen? I'm preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are angels a part of that? Yes. But we're not out there chasing. All of a sudden, you get an extra stripe. I saw an angel. I saw three. Mine was bigger. Mine was buffer. Mine had a sword. This is what Christians get into. They get into who saw what. Here's what I'd like to see. If I want to see anything, I want to see him magnified and 50 people sitting around each and every one of us here. Amen. That is the victory that Jesus sent us to go and accomplish. Amen? Amen. To go and tell them about him. I'm not against angels. Please hear me. I'm not fighting against any of you, just so you know. It's not about that. But when we get our eyes off of Christ, we can get distracted by anything. Yeah. I remember Ken Hagin, when it came to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, look, don't get in a ditch on either side. How many know you can get in a ditch on either side of any topic? Yeah. Right? He said, hey, stay where the word keeps you, right down the middle, and stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he balances everything out perfectly. Philippians 2:9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, how many knees are going to bow? Every knee. Right. It says at the name of Jesus. It didn't say at the force of you. How many of us want to try to make somebody else's knee buckle? Because we're tired of waiting for them to come to know Christ. I've been praying long enough. Come here. Whack. We want to get them on their face. We want to get them on their knees. We want to get them in the kingdom. Why? We see the gift of God inside of them. We know it's a family member, and we try to work it. We try to make it happen. That's why I can rejoice over my entire family, because as he said to the jailer, you and your whole family shall be saved. And I'm standing on the word of God, and I'm not fretting or worrying what day that will happen. But I'm going to rejoice today as if every one of them right now are in the kingdom of God. Therefore, all fear goes, all anxiety goes. I don't worry about any of them. Even with all the stories that we hear, you just sort of hold your head and whew. I mean, you know, the boys, but Chels, whoo. Oh, hi, Chels. Now she was easy. Psalm 76:1. It says, in Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. His name is great at Rock Solid Church. His name is mighty. His name is beautiful and wonderful. Psalms 8:1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Only one name. Man has a way of taking a lot of, you know, they said, I just read an article. Now they're calling it a national health, it's something to do with a health crisis. Selfies. Because they're getting on the highest places and falling to their death everywhere. Every year, kids are dying because they want to take a selfie at the highest place or the craziest place. And this is what happens when we focus on ourselves. Right? How many pictures do you need of you? It's astonishing, isn't it? Show me a picture of Jesus on your phone. What? But there's 150,000 pictures. I had to buy extra memory. How many of them are paying $20 a month for extra memory just to hold my pictures of me? I thought this was about him. I thought this was all about the name of Jesus. Can I encourage you? Don't get sucked into that way of life. How many people want to go back and act like they're 18 again when they're 60? I'm not 60 yet, so. Sorry, you older guys. Right? How many people are looking at what they used to look like? How many people have butchered their bodies and faces in Hollywood trying to look like they're 25 again? Look it. I know I don't look 25, and I don't care. The only thing I care about is my wife's vision going. She still thinks I'm handsome. Yeah. But how much of the church has been drawn into that, lifting themselves up, trying to look like something or be something, and because they don't know who they are, and we're supposed to be magnifying one name, the name of Jesus. Amen? One name. That's it. When we ate, who were we thanking on Thursday? We're thanking the Lord for his provision, right? Isn't that how it started? They were thankful for that first one, for the provision that he made, and we're reminding him every year how grateful we are. You know, even our government had some common sense back then and put that into law and agreed that it was God because they couldn't keep themselves. That's gone. The Song of Solomon 1:3 says, thy name is an ointment poured forth. I don't know who needs healing in here. In emotions, in your heart. Whatever it is, I want you to know that in that name, there's the healing balm that comes and pours forth. It didn't say he withholds it. It didn't say you didn't earn it. It just says that he pours it forth. Who does he pour it on? Those that ask for it. Why? Because sons and daughters ask. Right? Jerome and Michael came over and he says, hey, Dad, I know you got the one compressor in your garage. What are you doing with the other one in the shed? Why? I need one. You need one. Huh? All right, go take it. He asked. That's all he did. It was like, I don't care, go take it. And he had my other compressor, and then he's got my generator. Chelsea, you better start asking for something soon, because he's taking it all. I just want you to know. You don't want my hand tools and chainsaws? Come on, Chelsea. Ethan, you better hurry up and put whisper in her ear. Isaiah 7:14, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He's with you here this morning. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people, thank you, from their sins. You know, it's amazing how just at the mention of the name of Jesus, and people have different responses. You ever been around Christians when you mention the name of Jesus, start talking about it, and they just roll their eyes? Yeah, I know. I was like that in the beginning with my mom. My mom never stopped talking about the Lord. When I first got saved, I mean, I didn't have a foundation, didn't have anything. And my mom, oh, I just got to tell you what Jesus is. I got to tell you about this. I prayed for this one. I prayed for that one. I led this one to Christ. All right, Mom, can we talk about football or hunting or anything else? I didn't say that, but in my mind, that was my thought. Oh, I'm the only one. Sure. Father, forgive them for lying. Heal their minds, Lord. But yeah, how many Christians you get around and you can tell they're disengaged. They don't even want to talk to you about the things of God. Have you seen the face? The body language? Hey, I got to tell you what Jesus has done. I got to tell you. Oh, hang on a second. This is a very important text. Hang on. It's a text. Selfie. Oh, what were you saying about Jesus? A lot of Christians act like that. Those that aren't madly in love. See, because when we're madly in love with him and all that he has done, everything in our life starts to change. Amen? Amen. The lost, you get a couple of couple of thoughts from them, either confusion or hatred. They're clueless on what you know or what who Jesus is, or else they just back away and they don't want to know nothing about it. I can't tell you how many people have shut me down when I brought up the name of Jesus Christ in conversation. But I still get his name out and the word out. Amen? What does the name of a person represent? The name of a person represents their personality, character, ideals, values, activities, work, history, reputation, lifestyle of whoever it is. Right? And we know the goal of sin is always separation. Right? The goal of sin is always separation. That's what the enemy always wants to do. As a matter of fact, you know, it's separation from God, separation from one another, right? Look at your life. Who are you separated from right now? Because something went wrong, because someone sinned, either against you or you against them. You know, but he heals hearts so that we can walk in unity and not in bondage. And in Hebrew, the Satan, it means adversary or one who plots against another. And in the Septuagint, usually translated into the Greek as diabolos, slander, or literally one who throws something across the path of another. See, that's what the devil does. Jesus, the name of Jesus, removes whatever's in your path. Every time you step out in faith, the devil's always going to try to throw something across your path. What does it do? Right? Because most Christians aren't going to say, in the name of Jesus, get out of here and throw the thing out of their paths. Now, talk about this church, because you guys know better. But for the church at large, most of them will be like a deer. You ever watch a deer walk through the woods? There's a log across it, a stick that's high, he just walks around it. He just finds a path of least resistance. And that's how most Christians walk. They walk in a path of least resistance. They don't want any problems. They don't want to cause any problem. I just want to get through life, get out of here, and get to eternity. It's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to proclaim the name of Jesus. He's called us to pray for those that are hurting, those that are lost. You know, that they used to say, I don't know what the stat is anymore, but I believe the stat was that 90% of Christians never led anybody to Christ. I'll look down at my paper just so you don't think I'm looking at you. I don't know, maybe that's you in here. And if that's you in here, that you've never led anybody to Christ, and I would surmise that there's a fear that comes from you sharing Christ. That's what it usually is. Sounds like Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody's eating and nobody's talking. Gets quiet. Right? Because if we're going to walk in righteousness and we're going to walk after God's plan, then we're going to have to share that name with others. He said, at the name, knees will bow. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Right, so at the name of Jesus, your neighbor's knee is going to bow one day. Because he said every knee will bow, amen? At the name of Jesus, every lie in your head has to bow. Oh, they won't like me. They don't anyway. They might talk about me. They do. I can only imagine what's going on in my neighbor's house even today. They have a bag that they hung from the ceiling and everybody's just walking with my face on it. And I'm over here just rejoicing in the name of Jesus because your knee is going to bow in the name of Jesus. That's my only thought. I got nothing against them. I don't care. I said, if you drop 10 trees in my property, I don't care. But he did say something that I'm curious about because I'm not originally from Columbia County. He said, no, I lived in Greene County. That's where I grew up. He said, I lived in Greene County for 6 years. That's what he told me, Rick. He said, people over there are different. People in Columbia County, they're a bunch of bleep holes. That's the way they act. They just got a bleep. And I didn't want to say, just you. Right? I didn't want to say that. Because I know a lot of you people in there that are here from Columbia County. But this is what he said. He threw everybody in Columbia County in. You imagine? Yeah, and I'm thinking, I know a lot of people, and that's just not true. But I want you to know that knee is going to bow. The whole family is going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because all I'm doing is praying the name of Jesus over them, Lord, that you would open up their eyes, that you would heal their hearts, and that they would be able to see, take the blinders off. And Lord, I want to be there when they receive Christ. I don't care which one of you guys leads them. I just want to be there. And I want to see the transformation of God in their lives. All because of one single name, the name of Jesus. If there's one name, look at, we have received everything in Jesus' treasury is ours. Can we agree on that? Every promise is ours. Do we agree with that? I think we ought to study just how much we received by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we can start speaking that over your lives and everybody else around us. And watch them get set free. You know, the power of the name of Jesus belongs to the church. Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name. Do we agree? Right. Turn over to Mark chapter 16, 15 to 18. If you have your Bibles, if not, look up on the screen. Mark 16, 15 to 18. He says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So we're saved through the power of God's word, right? And what did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to how many? All creation, right? And he goes on to verse 17. It says, these signs will accompany those who have believed. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me. Right. In what? In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents and they will drink. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Those who have believed on my name, in my name, in the name of Jesus, every one of his promises comes to fruition all in the name. Not because you read enough, not because you prayed enough. Because when he gave us the power of attorney, when we stepped into Christendom, he said, you can call on my name. Right? So we already believe. Tell your neighbor, say, I believe. Right. So if you already believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and then you already agree, he said, when you go, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He's going to say, when you speak to the demons, they're going to have to obey you. That's a fun one. I want you to know that when you mention the name of Jesus, the devil becomes paralyzed. That's how bad Jesus whooped him. He whooped him so bad that all you got to do is mention the name of Jesus, and he just... And every demon in hell does the same thing. They start backing away because they're petrified of that name. And when you have the right to carry that name, you say, wait a minute, I believe. Therefore, I am a child of the Most High God. Therefore, all power and authority was given to us through him to do what he's called us to do. And no matter where you walk, when you mention his name, every knee's going to bow. Demons are going to flee. How many demons you get rid of when you got saved? Maybe some are here that you haven't got rid of them all. I want you to know, they don't have the right to control your mind. They don't have the right to control your body. They don't have the freedom to get you to do what you used to do before you knew Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. They've been defeated, every single one of them. But the mind's got to get renewed in order to grab a hold of what we've already been promised. Amen? When that freedom comes, everything changes. They lived out their lives fearlessly proclaiming the name. In John 16, 23 and 24, it says, in that day, you will not question me about anything. This is Jesus speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Does that sound like a power of attorney? What happens when you have a power of attorney and someone dies? Now, it doesn't go into power until someone dies, right? Whoever wrote it out, you don't get that power of attorney, or you don't, not the power of attorney, but the will. The will doesn't come to fruition until the person passes away or dies. And the same thing here, the power of attorney that Jesus gave us is because through his death, burial, and resurrection, he said, now all of these things I promised, I've accomplished before the Father. Everything he's asked me to do, I've done. Now, I'm going back and I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. You are in my stead down here on the earth. So therefore, when you speak in my name, you no longer cry out to me. You talk to the Father. So you speak it. I remind the Father of what I've done. And then the Father accomplishes what you ask. Does that make sense? Yep. Right. Because he's sitting there. It's done. It's complete. It's finished. And he is, where is he? Seated. He ain't scared. He's not tired. He's accomplished everything, and now he's at perfect peace with the Father. He is at perfect peace because he trusts you. One of the reasons, because he trusts you to do his will. He trusts me to do his will. Right? And then if you're not going to do it, he's going to find somebody else. But he knows that we're going to do what he's asked us to do. Therefore, he's at rest. God, what a crazy plan God had. Send Jesus to wash us and cleanse us and then send us out. Send us out. I mean, the first crazy thing is he created marriage. That's crazy. And you need him for marriage. Then he gave us kids. That's a trial in itself for our kids, because we had no idea what we were doing. And then he says, not only that, now I want to send you out into all the world. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to take my word, and I want you to share it with all of them. And I know the power of my word when you start to speak in that name. Because he said, in that day, that's this day. Right? He's seated at the throne with God. The devil has been whooped. He's already paralyzed. He's already fearful. He's been jacked up to where he's never going to rule and reign again, ever, over your life. He can't. He doesn't have that authority. He just lies to you in your mind. Nobody likes you. So what? That's my answer now. You know, I used to be like, I know. But now it's, I don't care. Because as long as Jesus loves me, this I know. And that's where I'm standing, right? And then I'm still going to go out and do it. I'm still going to go out and do what he told me to do. And sometimes I want to do what I don't supposed to do. I want to go drop 10 more trees. But I know I can't. That's what my flesh wants to do. My spirit says, no, in the name of Jesus, you better bow your knee if you want him to bow his or theirs. So Jesus is seated, and all you have to do is ask in that name directly to the Father, because when I'm asking, when I know that name, I know what the power of Jesus has done, and I know all of the Beatitudes, right? Blessed, 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 blessed. When you do these things, not when you do what you want to do, but when you do these things, he said you're going to be blessed. When you live like this, you speak to the Father and he'll do what you ask. You'll speak to the Father directly. Jesus will confirm it. I paid for that, Father. I paid so they could walk in that freedom. I paid for that healing. I paid for that deliverance. That's all Jesus does. He agrees with what the Word says, that when you ask according to the Word, you'll have what you say. Amen? And again, Jesus is sitting there. He's not up there trying. Come on. Oh, Dad, please. Please, you got to do it for him. You got to. No, he's in perfect peace. I already paid for it. I already whooped the devil. Paid for all the sins. We've already been reconnected to the Father. There's nothing between my soul and my Savior. Amen? Because the blood was enough. Why? Because I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now I have the freedom to be able to ask anything in his name, and I'll have what I say. Man, that's good news, isn't it? But it's not for my glory. It's not for me. It's for him. He gets all the glory. Amen? Because my life is not my own. Can you say that's true? Your life is not your own. I know it's easy to say it about me. Your life is not your own either. Therefore, when we lay my life down, he said, then he's going to pick it up. He's going to make something beautiful out of your life. And he already has. He's made something beautiful. That's why you're here. Jesus is Savior, the Christ, the anointed one. He who saves and is anointed destroys every yoke. The lame walk in the name, live saved in the name alone, dead raised in that name, demons cast out in that name. We're to worship in that name. Everything that was created by him, for him, and is upheld by him. And when we pray according to his will, we are taking his place here on earth. I don't think most Christians realize that. I don't think most of them get that. They don't put that in perspective. You are like Christ. You're not the Christ, but you're a whole bunch of little Christs. He's the great shepherd, amen? We're the under shepherds. That's what we do. But if all power and authority is yours, just like he had, then what's the purpose? Is it the purpose to walk around defeated? Is it the purpose to walk around and try to earn your good graces with God? You ever hear people always whining and complaining about what's wrong and never proclaiming? Not one scripture have they memorized in order to speak life into their situation. That's why you're there in their lives. You're in their lives to speak that word into them, to pull them up out of where they're at and to say, wait a minute, that's not who you are. That's who you were. This is who you are in the name of Jesus. This is what the word says. According to the word of God, in the name of Jesus, we're breaking that. Depression is broken in the name of Jesus. Amen? Right. Suicide, broken in the name of Jesus. Suicide is what? Hopelessness. He's the hope of the world. He is our hope. We put all of our hope in him. There's nothing lacking when we step into him. Nothing. So suicide gets destroyed. I remember asking the teens one time, how many here had thoughts of suicide in the church? I think it was 6 or 7 out of 15. Yeah, had thoughts of it. Why? Devil's a liar. Everything they see on the internet has to do with you don't look good enough. You don't have enough. You don't fit in. I want you to know. I don't care how tall you are, how short you are, how young you are, how old you are. I want you to know you fit in here. There is no hopelessness in the kingdom of God. And there's no hopelessness in the house of God. We've destroyed the power of hopelessness through the name of Jesus. Amen? At that name, it's destroyed. And then we're going to have to grab a hold of some scriptures that speak of the truth of the word of God over our lives. And that's where we stand. So our just starting season of just focusing on that name. And I want you to know that you have the power of attorney on the earth. I don't care what anyone else has ever said about you, ever said about your family. Maybe you grew up in a family that was mocked and made fun of and ridiculed. I want you to know, God's got his stamp of approval over you no matter what your family has done. I remember one time, my wife's grandfather, he was delivering shrimp up in northern Mississippi. And he pulled into the bank to cash the check. And he looked in the car next to him, and there's a lady with a Gatling gun sitting there on her lap. And he looked over at her, and she just shook her head. He just nodded and sat right there in his car. A couple minutes later, one man came out with a gun with another man in front of him. He stuffed the other man in the car, and he jumped in. It was Bonnie and Clyde. They robbed the bank. And her grandfather watched it. Yeah. He's an accessory, I think. They found the teller down the road just a little ways. You know, maybe you're from the Hatfields and McCoys. There's all kinds of stories about you and your family. But I want you to know that at the name of Jesus, and when that blood comes, it washes all of that away. And now you've got a new family, and this is the family of God. You have entered into the body of Christ, where every single gift in here, we agree, has been given by God. You're free to do the will of your Father because of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Stand up this morning. The word says in Hebrews 1 that he is the heir of all things. There's nothing he doesn't possess. He's the heir of all things. Means he's in charge of all things. All things. So what are you lacking? Your God, your King, is in charge of everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All power and authority is yours. No lie of the enemy can defeat you. Your freedom has already been bought and paid for. You're truly free. Indeed. All right. For the rest of you, you're free.
Indeed.
All right. See, because until we start to confess it, right? If you believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth, that's where the power comes from. Once you start to confess it, everything starts to change. That's why we need to read the Word of God over and over and over every day. As you go forth today, I think we should spend some time in prayer. As we seek his plan for our lives, let's give each one value regardless of how they were treated or how we were treated. And let's walk out in the power of attorney, setting at liberty those who have been held captive. Amen? Jesus died and conquered the enemy, left him paralyzed, whipped him, and defeated. Stop focusing on him, and let's focus on the King. Let's focus on every word he spoke, not any other word that a man speaks unless it lines up with the word of God. Because I am so looking forward to going and praying over this judge. You know, I think the guy that asked me to pray, because when I joined the American Legion, became the chaplain, and therefore I pray at the Memorial Day Parade, Veterans Day Parade, and all of those. And I know he's been there at a couple of them. And I'm like, yes, because that speaks of a hunger in this gentleman's life. And he wants to bring that hunger to the rest of their lives. That's what we're supposed to be doing, each one of us. You're bringing, we live in such a way that people are hungry for the things of God. And I know the gift inside of a lot of you. We'll be expecting people standing next to you simply because you lifted up the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you for today.